Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy on October 22nd of 2020. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
We're here to be talking as usual about some of the anime stuff we've been watching, a few of which air on Toonami. So, and maybe some other things, we'll see. We've got starting out with the penultimate episode of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, or Golden Wind, episode 38. So they managed to get the chair. Now that I have collected myself correctly, they basically have the powered up Gold Experience Requiem, which does something to Diavolo, which basically makes it so the has to perpetually like live all these different horrible deaths over and over, which is just kind of weird because. Trishlik says, I can still sense him. And Jordan says, oh, don't worry. He's been taken care of. And I guess everyone just accepts that. No one says, well, could we have a little specification? Because, I mean, there's sort of been a lot of times where we were sure that we beat someone, but they had some way out of it. But nope, we did it. He's defeated and stuff. They didn't say what happened because then they could have said, so who do you think had it worse, Diavolo or Cars?
What happened with Cars again?
Cars basically, he got catapulted into space, and when he tried to do something to move, he ended up freezing himself and was unable to move. So it just said that he just permanently went floating through space forever and eventually stopped thinking.
Oh man, those are pretty tough. Yeah,
Diavolo got it bad. He wasn't even like the worst villain in this in Golden Wind. I think the Chocolate guy, the guy with the Green Day stand, the one with the like the mold and stuff, was probably worse. Anyway, so we've got So we've got that, and so yeah, everything seems great. They've managed to beat Diavolo and such, and then we move into the epilogue, as you would expect, except we don't, because we just go into this flashback thing about the group before they even met Giorno, and then and it's just about them encountering this weird case about how this this person who they think killed herself but maybe was actually killed, so they're trying and while they're investigating it, Mista keeps seeing all these weird stones everywhere and figures out that there's a stand user involved, because it's always a stand user.
Yeah.
And then it seems Bucciarati gets turned into a sculpture, which is where our episode ends.
Yeah, that whole Diavolo getting tortured, like, I don't know, I guess that amuses some people. I don't know, I just thought that was too over the top, because I was like, what did he even do, you know? I mean, yeah, that seemed, yeah, that was weird. I think he got beaten a little too easily too. So
that's a big problem. It's like what I was saying before. When they beat him, it's just because, oh hey, I was able to grab the plot coupon. Now I can cash in the plot coupon.
Yeah.
So that was my issue with that. It did just seem kind. I mean, the stuff up until this was pretty decent, but it just felt like, well, what I said, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm just trying to double check something here. I think I read, I'm not 100% sure on this. I haven't like verified it. I think supposedly the reason the when they the manga so we had all this flashback thing. It's awkwardly placed in the manga because apparently he had, basically wrapped stuff up and things seemed finished, and then they were like, hey, we kind of need a few more chapters to, so we can get a full volume out of this when we publish it. And he's like, oh, okay, well, here's this then. You would think that they might like place this at some other point in the anime, but I did, I got spoiled a little on something here because, oh yeah, I got spoiled on the next episode, big thing. And it does kind of forecast some stuff that happens in the actual series that we saw. So I guess that's why they had to put it here, but it's just such a weird spot to put it. Okay, so yeah, not really the greatest like conclusion. Yeah, like the best ones were of course, I'm trying to think back on the past villains fight. So part one, I remember Dio, it was kind of anticlimactic the way he was beaten. Part two, that was pretty good. That was up against Cars. That was a good one. Part three, that was another good one. The second time against Dio, and they actually had a good fight out of it. Part four, for some reason, I can't really remember that. Well, I think I was kind of not that interested in it at that point, so I can't remember. But yeah, this one was kind of a letdown, unfortunately.
Yeah, part three didn't it have like a weird after the defeat thing. It was like, oh man, I can't remember what it was, but it was like the fight was good, but it was like once he got beaten, there was like a strange twist to it.
The only thing I can think of that was particularly weird in part three was after they beat Dio, there's that part where Joseph is being is recuperated stuff because they put like Dio's blood into him or something because he healed him. And then he comes out and goes, "Aha! I have taken over Joseph's body, fools!" And then like Jotaro's about to like kill him. He's like, no! It's just a joke. It's really me.
That's what I remembered. Yeah, it's been a while. So, yeah, that was pretty funny.
Okay. So then we have Assassination Classroom, episode 7. So we're continuing on our sort of field trip thing. And wait, did I say 7? Wasn't this? I'm sorry, this was episode 8. I think I that went up. Right. So the first this is one of those things where it's kind of weird because the different chapters have different sort of focuses, and but when you combine them into one episode, you kind of end up with these different things. Like the first half is just a weird, wacky thing about this assassin trying, the sniper trying to kill Koro Sensei and failing, and then he actually Koro Sensei talks to him, and he's like, "Yep, okay, I guess I'm out of the sniper business for now." Then the second half is just some is really just wacky hijinks, honestly.
But I enjoyed it, so
Oh yeah, it was fun. I liked the part with the like with Koro Sensei in the bath. That was funny. The part where the girls are like, where Irina's like going to be telling them some sort of like juicy stuff, and Koro Sensei is there because he wants to listen, and they kick him out. That was good. Yeah, I mean, it was really mostly a comedy episode, but there's nothing wrong with being a comedy. So, yeah, better than last time and more consistent.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I yeah, my favorite part was whenever he was trying to be a girl. and fit in with them. That was pretty funny. What happened in that after credits scene? Because I wasn't able to see it.
Basically, if I remember correctly, there's just some stuff talking, you know, people discussing how to deal with Koro Sensei, and one of them mentions that they're going to send in two new students to try to help with assassinating him. They mentioned, well, one of them we've still are working with and won't be. So it's basically just like saying, hey, new people will be coming in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it wasn't like huge to the plot.
No, it was just kind of a tease of stuff we'll be getting. Yeah, I didn't even know that was there. I only noticed it because when I like wasn't paying attention, I even like had it muted, and then I just glanced up and I'm like, oh wait, something's happening. Mute off. What's going on?
I literally shut off my PlayStation, which I was watching on my PlayStation. I shut off the PlayStation, and like the instant I shut it off, you put in after credit scene, and I'm not even gonna go through it because I would have had to go through the whole deal of bringing it back on and then using the DVR to go through. I was like, I'm not doing that. But I shut it off, and as soon as I did, your message came up, and I'm like, crap.
Okay. So, they did not show a Black Clover episode because they had delayed everything on Toonami by an hour because of some sort of, I don't know, thing telling people to go out and vote. I'm not sure why you needed an hour-long special to do that.
An hour-long concert.
Yeah, hour-long concert.
Which somehow now more people are going to vote because of that concert.
I mean, I already, like, sent mine in, so...
Yeah, same here. Mine's been sent in for weeks now, so... yeah.
Okay. So, we do not have anything to say about Black Clover, unfortunately. Come back next week, and, actually, possibly only next week, because the week after that, they're doing a Promised Neverland marathon. The week after that, they're changing up the schedule. Black Clover won't be on it anymore, and they're bringing in some new shows. We don't know when Black Clover will be back. I'm sure that the reason they're doing this is just because the dubbing has gotten behind due to the coronavirus, and they're just... probably just putting it on hiatus for a while until that can be better caught up on.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, that they probably, you know how every episode starts with that thing, we did this from our own homes. Well, finally that they weren't able to do it anymore. So they gotta have some time to catch up.
Yeah, they probably don't want to be doing what they did with My Hero Academia, where they had to, like, put on repeats for multiple weeks.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think they've gotten a bit little faster at it than they were at that point, but still we're at the point where definitely it makes some sense to kind of take it off for a while.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So... let's move on to our non-Toonami stuff. So we've got episode 23 of Tales of the Abyss. Just one episode this week because we had some things come up and we weren't able to do the usual two episodes.
Yeah.
So we find out about who Natalia's father was. I find it interesting. Remember how, like, well... the king, you know, who we thought was her father, how he was like, well, she's now my actual daughter. I guess I'll kill her. And I guess they're getting along now. Like, all they had to do was indicate some kind of weird mind control or suggestibility was going on. And that would have solved, and that would have explained it all. It's just so weird.
Yeah.
So we find out he is that Largo guy who, I'll be honest, some of the villains look too similar to each other. He looks too much like Van.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I think I might have thought they were the same character.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. I was like, oh, that, it just must, yeah. And I was like, is this turning into a Seymour thing? If Final Fantasy X had like 10 battles against Seymour, who wasn't even the final boss, but like you battled Seymour like 10 different times, and the storyline made you want to hate him so bad, but then it was like, oh, he's not really the villain after all. I was like, who's the villain? Well, of course, his father. So, not Seymour's father, the main character's father, which means we just copied off Star Wars. So, but yeah, this episode, I want to ask you something.
Okay.
So, do you watch the opening theme song of the show?
Sometimes. Sometimes I just kind of skip through it. Kind of depends on like whether I'm in a hurry or not. I didn't see it this week. I was kind of in a hurry to when watching it. So,
yeah, because I am really confused about something. Okay, there's this one part of the opening theme song where you see this blonde girl who's like all dressed up, and then she turns into Tyr.
Okay, yeah, I do remember that part.
We haven't seen that happen once. Like, have we? Has she ever turned into this other girl? Mm-hmm. I don't remember that ever happening. And I was thinking, okay, it's got to be happening soon. But I've never seen that happen. And I was just wondering, like, when, why, what is that? Like, I don't get why they put it in the opening if it never happens.
I did remember that and was when I was watching it, I think some recent time, and I was wondering, huh, I wonder what that is. I just assumed it's something that's going to be revealed at some point. I mean, we do have 3 episodes left, but yeah, it is going to be a pretty late game thing.
Yeah, kind of like how they haven't really developed Anis at all, which, like, you know, like I really think, I'm really starting to believe that this anime is like a lot different from the game. Like, not like the main things about it are the same, but I feel like the game goes through a lot more character development than this. You know, I just feel like we're missing something because we never got an explanation of what Anis's powers were. She has that, like, that bear type of thing. I don't even know how to describe it. But, like, it was never explained what that was or why she had it or anything like that. And it was like, that just seems like they picked and chose certain things to show and certain things not to show. And I'm feeling like we missed the whole big part of this game, you know?
Yeah, well, I it's hard for me to really comment too much on it because I don't know what the characters were like in the game, so I can't really be sure about what we missed. Like, for all I know, in the game, one of the characters was actually from an alternate universe, but lost his memories of it, and then he remembered them, and there was a whole lot of discussion about it, because it turned out he was from Star Wars. But for all I know, that was what? In the game.
Wait, what?
Say I was just trying to come up with the most random thing I could.
Oh. I thought you were being serious.
No. But the one thing I do know, and I remember this, is because it made a big deal out of, like, oh, guy was afraid of women. Oh, he's not anymore. And we were both thinking, wait, that was a character trait? And like I said, I asked my brother who played through the game. He said, yeah, that was like a recurring thing throughout the game. And so I'm thinking, well, if something like that was the case, who knows how much more stuff there could have been in the game regarding the characters and their development that just wasn't in the anime.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I have the game, so I ought to play it at some point. But I don't want to play it until after the anime is over. So, there could be spoilers, you know.
Well, I mean, if you're at the early parts of the game, it probably won't spoil much of anything. But, yeah, so one other comment I wanted to make about this episode was, so there's a part where they're fighting Largo, and Natalia, like, hits him with the arrow, and that kills him. And I was thinking, the guy's wearing a lot of armor. And just the arrow, you know, just pierced, not only goes through it, but also kills him?
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah. I can, like, say, okay, it's a magic arrow, so that's how it could go through, but is it really so powerful that it could, just one arrow could go through the armor and then kill him? What's the point of having the armor if it's not going to protect you against that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, yep, we're getting close to the end. So now we've got Ghost in the Shell, episode 32. So, a guy who was apparently trying to blackmail someone is dead, and it looked like an accident, but they think it's actually a murder. So Togusa goes to investigate it a bunch, finds this person who was the guy's fiance, and they do some additional research, and they find out, well, basically, long story short, the guy was working in this sort of mine place that was a chemical plant or something, and he, like, realized, oh, this is actually really bad, and he tried to, you know, blackmail about the thing, but then that didn't, but then they apparently killed him for that, and that was basically the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty, honestly, straightforward story.
Yeah, it just didn't involve many of the main characters. Like, Aramaki had a little appearance, but otherwise it was just that one guy who,
yeah, just Togusa.
Yeah, him. Forgot his name.
Well, of the most important, he's the least important of the most important characters. because the biggest ones would be Aramaki, the major, Bato, Togusa, like, those are, like, the big ones, and then there's those other guys who are a part of their group that I can't remember anything at all about. But Togusa, like I said, is the least important of the important characters.
I think Tatsukoma ranks above him, even.
I was thinking I would have included the Tachikomi in the list of important characters, but I'm thinking, well, but there's, like, a bunch of them, so... wasn't sure if I should count them as one. And yeah, there is a Tachikoma in this episode. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was just a standalone episode, or maybe it wasn't, because that woman he was talking to, who he was working with, just disappears at the end of the episode. I was wondering, so is this brought up again? So I actually did, at least on the Wikipedia page for the episodes, which, you know, have the brief synopsis, I searched for her name and she doesn't show up again. So she might, like, this might be followed up on, and she just didn't play a big enough part for to be mentioned there. But I'm hoping it isn't that she just disappears and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say that I do like the fact that even these individual standalone episodes are kind of playing into the what seems to be the larger overall plot regarding, like, the refugee situation. Because that's, like, every episode basically has had something to do with that so far. Or, no, wait, the one where they were trying to trick the guy into getting them into the vault, I don't think that directly involved it. But that's my point, even the individual ones are, at least some of them are trying to be tied in somehow to the larger thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we got Yashahime Episode 3.
Yeah, so everyone is back in normal Tokyo, the center of the universe. And so this demon that kind of got Toa's sword, well, now it's attacking. And now Toa finds this power, and she has this, like, invisible sword that she's able to appear and attack the demon with it. And then so then they're kind of like, they think they've got the demon defeated, and then Setsuna's like, well, I don't know who Toa is. And she's trying to tell her that she's her sister. And then Moroha, who is Inuyasha Kagome's daughter, is like, she's like figuring everything out. And then this demon infects, well, it first infects Toa, and then it goes to the little girl, Mei, and then they had to get it out of her. And then they all go, and Moroha sours and is naked in front of who would that be? Okay, that's her uncle. That would be her uncle, wouldn't it be? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Kagome's her mother, and that's her brother, her uncle. Yeah, so then there's something about there's a girl stuck in the tree, and people have had fun for all week long trying to figure out who that person in the tree is. So I look forward to finding out about that.
Yeah. There also was, like, some brief stuff about, like, where it mentions Kaede. I mean, we see her, and she mentions, oh, like, Moroha, she must be Inuyasha and Kagome's daughter. Says, or wait, maybe it was, or was it one of, or was it Kagome's brother who speculated about that? I can't remember. Someone did. But which still just brings up the question of, well, shouldn't they know this better, the people in the past? What I hope we get an explanation for why the people don't seem to know this stuff.
Yeah, the fan speculation is that, like, everyone is sealed up somewhere, and that's why no one knows who each other are. Like all the main cast got sealed up or something. And kind of like that thing in, do you remember the Pokemon manga? Like they had so many main characters that they're like, okay, we're just going to turn them all to stone so we can get these new characters. And so that's kind of what it reminded me of. And I'm like, okay, are they doing the same thing here? I don't know. But that's what the fan speculation is.
Yeah, they did do that. So they got turned to stone, but then they got brought back in the next part. Okay, yeah. One thing I wanted to comment on, because we were wondering, wait, how is Kaede still alive? So I looked, I always like wondering, how old was she? So I looked it up. At the end of the original series, Inuyasha, she was 63 years old. Now, it's not clear how far after this is. It has to be at least 14 years because, you know, it's the girls, it's stated, are 14. But if we, like, say, add a bit to it, just say 20 years, that would, like, put her in her 80s. So, yeah, I mean, it's not, it's living to that age at that time period is a little surprising, but it's not so out of the, it's not so weird that, you know, we actually should have had that reaction of, wait, how is she alive?
Yeah.
I thought she was older than she actually was. So yeah, it's an age where someone being alive is reasonable, like not common back then, but still reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we've got that. Let's see, was there anything I wanted to add on it? I guess one thing that I noticed, this is such a minor thing, but I there was a weird sort of typo in the subtitles, or maybe it was a translation where someone says that the moth puts one to asleep. So I don't know if like that was just a result of it being a rush job or what, but yeah, that caught my eye. I mentioned how the subtitles during the World Trigger recaps were often kind of sounded like were sort of weird. The main show was fine, but the recaps were often awkward. But I don't think it made something quite like that.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit of an embarrassment, I suppose. Probably should have caught that. Mm-hmm. But that's like a minor thing.
Yeah.
All right. So then we're on to Attack on Titan, episode 54. So the plan last time to basically send everyone after the Beast Titan to distract it while Levi kind of just jumped along the Titans to get to him and kill him actually works. Levi does kill the Beast Titan, and I know you don't like Levi, but did you at least think the sequence of him fighting it was kind of cool?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
So he manages to take out the Beast Titan. I might have said he killed it. He didn't, but he took it out. But unfortunately, the guy, but he hesitates in killing him because he's thinking, well, if someone here is still alive, I can use the Titan serum to turn them into a Titan. They can eat him, and then they'll will gain that power. But unfortunately, as a result of that, he manages to escape because of that cart Titan helping him out.
Are we supposed to know who that person was, or
do you mean the Beast Titan or the cart Titan?
Beast Titan.
Okay. Titan. Yeah, the other one that was with him that saved him, that's just called the cart Titan. I don't know if it's been officially given that name yet, but the Beast Titan. There are some, we do not know who he is yet. No.
Oh, okay.
There's a few hints that have been dropped, but we do not know him yet.
Okay.
So we got that. So that's been taken care of, there. Meanwhile, on the other side, when they're dealing with the Armored Titan and Colossal Titan, Armin comes up with Armin is like, well, dang, I really should do something useful, probably. So he comes up with this plan to deal with the Colossal Titan, which basically is to make it expend its energy trying to kill him so that Eren, who used the Harden ability to make it look like his Titan form was still there and unconscious, then comes out of it and manages to get behind him and take him out. I just noticed that both of these plans involved, hey, let's distract the Titan while someone goes behind it and takes it out.
Mm-hmm.
That manages to work, but basically results in Armin being barbecued in the process from all that. Meanwhile, the others are going after the armored Titan with the plan of trying to use the thunder rods, or was that what they were called? Was it thunder or thunder spears? Sorry. To try to hit both sides of his mouth to force him to open it so they can jam the last one in there. They don't. Unfortunately, they're only able to hit one side, so they can't work. But then Hanji, who it turned out survived somehow, just pops up and hits the other one, which lets them beat him. It never exactly explains how, I don't think, how she survived that, but I think it's just because she has the power of being best girl. Hey, I know Hanji is androgynous in the manga. Screw that, I'm going by the anime. Hanji is best girl.
And, that was, so predictable, though, that she survived. Mm-hmm. That didn't surprise me, one bit. When she showed up, I was like, oh, there she is. Hmm. It was way too obvious that she didn't die, which will be part of my biggest problem with this episode, but I'll let you finish.
Okay. Actually, I was ironically, after I decided I was going to make that comment, I was thinking, hey, so who would, maybe we could discuss that subject. Who is best girl for all these shows we were watching? And then I realized, wait a minute, so we can't really do that for much because JoJo and Ghost in the Shell have only one actual female character in them. And whereas Assassination Classroom and Yashihime are too new to form any judgment on. I mean, I guess you could say Tales of the Abyss or Black Clover, but...
Oh, that is tough with Tales of the Abyss, because I came into the show thinking Anise would be my favorite, but now I'm going with Tyr. So, yeah. which, by the way, this is a perfect advertisement for my fan fiction, Survivor Best Girl. Yep, 14th season of Survivor. Catch it on fanfiction.net. Yep, there you go.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So my biggest problem with this episode was that as soon as Armin said, I can't wait to go to the sea someday when this is all over. As soon as he said that, it became overwhelmingly obvious that he was going to die in the episode. It was more obvious than Han Solo dying in the new Star Wars. And so whenever that happened, I'm like, okay, we know what's going to happen now. And it loses its effect whenever you're just kind of counting down the seconds until he dies. They needed to somehow make that a little more surprising, because I was like, okay, because he kept on saying that stuff about the sea. I'm like, okay, you really are hammering this home. This is going to be his last episode. So now maybe he comes back to life, but that was just a little too obvious for me, although I really did like this episode.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was, I mean, there were some parts that maybe I could nitpick on a bit, but on the whole, I thought this was a very good episode. Like, definitely one of the best ones of the series. It's episodes like this that just make me think, if you could have been doing this the whole time, why weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
The other, however, there's something in this episode that makes me think that the scouts have made a major tactical error with their uniform, because Armin, like we mentioned, he's like just all this fire has gotten at him. He's like been barbecued and stuff, but his pants are perfectly fine. So those must be some super crazy durable pants they provide people with. Why don't they like use that material on the whole uniform?
Maybe, yeah.
I wish I could.
I mean, obviously they don't have access to like all the best materials, but you're right.
I wish I could say I came up with that joke, but I just saw someone make that in a comment and wanted to mention it.
That's cheating.
No, it's not. I admitted where I got it. Okay. So, that's all the anime stuff. I guess we can give our top three stuff for this.
Yeah, so with one being obvious for me, it comes down to two and three. And I actually think Attack on Titan will make it into the number two slot this week. So that's its highest appearance ever, I'm pretty sure, ever since we started doing this. And for number three, I did not like JoJo. I just thought that I got creeped out by that whole thing. Yeah, Assassination Classroom, number three for this week. Tales of the Abyss usually is in the top three. Obviously, it isn't there this week because Yasuhime has the number one spot. Tales of the Abyss, maybe it suffered from only having one episode. Maybe that was why it's been getting number one for me all these weeks, is because having two episodes means more stuff happens. So that's something to think about. Maybe you had unfair advantage all this time. Maybe.
So mine is actually pretty similar, just a different order. So for number three would be Yasuhime. Number two would be Assassination Classroom. And number one would be Attack on Titan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So now that we've done all our anime stuff, want to talk The Amazing Race?
Yeah, let's talk about it. We didn't get to last time thanks to that awful internet bug or whatever it was. My two favorite teams are the NFL players and the Asian girls. And both of them have survived through the first two episodes. This second episode I thought was pretty good. I thought it was so funny, though, that like so many of the teams did not read the instructions. And I just think, like... Like, wouldn't that be the first thing you do, is read the instructions? I don't know. I just couldn't figure out why. And they're like, they're looking at everything. And it's like, well, you have it right there in your hands, you know? That was pretty funny, though.
Yeah, they should have read the clue. A major case of RTFC. Which, if you don't know, is a term used often by players of trading card games like Magic the Gathering, which refers to when you make a misplay or mistake because you didn't remember what a card did. It stands for read the freaking card. Except in this case, it's read the freaking clue. Yeah. It's funny because last episode, there were so many instances where they played Deo that, you know, it got stuck in your head. This time, they did that with another song. They played the Infernal Gallop, probably better known as the Can Can song, a bunch.
Yeah.
It's like one. It's possibly the best known piece of classical music. You know that, like dun 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 dun. And yet, I wonder how. It seems almost no one knows where it's actually from.
Well, there's so many classical songs. I know the melody of. I have no idea what they're even called. So, okay. Well, like the Mario Brothers song.
I think that's just called. Actually, does it officially have a name? While I look that up, I'll get into it. This song I was talking about, it's from this French opera called Orpheus in the Underworld. It was sort of a spoof of the Greek myth of Orpheus, a comedy spoof of the Greek myth of Orpheus, and that's the most famous bit in it. Yeah, so it's also known. Yeah, just Super Mario Bros. Theme. It's officially known as Ground Theme or Overworld Theme.
No. I was talking about Mario Brothers. Mario Brothers, the one where they're in the underground and they have to turn over the.
Oh, that one.
And it starts with a classical theme. It starts with a classical theme. Dun 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 dun. That song.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what is that song? I know exactly what you're talking about now. You mentioned the game, and I was thinking, wait, what is the name of that? What was the music in that game? It's been so long since I played it. Trying to look it up, the computer's being weird. Let me, let's see, music. What's the first music from Mozart's Eine kleine Nachtmusik. I probably butchered the pronunciations of that. Yeah, it's something from, it says it's some song by Mozart. If I were to play it, I'd probably recognize it. But yeah, that must be it. I mean, it was made in the 18th century, so it's public domain. Might as well use it. But yeah, okay. So back to the amazing race. So they mentioned that. There was one other thing. We did briefly discuss this after the podcast when the internet was actually working briefly for us. But I've been trying. So there's always those the roadblocks where they always say, who wants to blah, blah, blah. And then they pick someone to do it. And we were thinking, and I was wondering, okay, when they make the decision, do they just know the hint or do they know what it entails? And because it was confusing, but this episode, it indicated they did know what it entails, because one of the teams was briefly talking about one is saying, oh, you tightropes are your thing, you should do it. So they did know that. But then another team, when they're going up, one of them was saying, one of them, I can't remember which team this was, but he says, well, before this, we agreed that he would do the height stuff and I would do the puzzle stuff, but I've ended up doing, but Dak was the guy who ended up, the person who said that ended up doing the tightrope thing anyway. So I was thinking, so did they not know that, or did they just know it would be a tightrope and didn't, and just assumed it would be low to the ground? So I don't know. It seems like they at least have some information about it beforehand when they make their choice. So that explains that at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then everyone chose not to use their clock thing, mm-hmm. which I didn't know how that worked. So maybe describe it, because this is only my second season. So
yeah, well, it was a return of something that I don't think they've had for a while. So you know how they have the U-turn where it forces some team to do both of the detours?
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the replacement of something they had before, which was what do they even call it? Everyone, there's, I can't remember the names for all of them, but it basically was something where you yield, I think it was. Basically, when you get to these sort of points, you can, if you want, use the yield on another team. And it says that they are forced to just, when they get to that point, they just have to sit there and wait for, I don't know, like 10 or 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They later eventually kind of got rid of that and just started using the yield, because I guess maybe it was more interesting to watch that or something. But this time it seems like they brought they got rid of the yield and replaced it with the U-turn. The names are too similar. So what everyone got were those, and they can at some point, so everyone has them, and they can at various points in the race just use it on another team, but it would require that they use it up. And some of the people managed to get 10-minute ones, some got 20-minute ones, so no one's doing it this time because of the fact that, like, there's not much of a point. You don't want to be making enemies at this point, and it's not like it would even be that big of a benefit, because normally you would be doing it either if you're, like, in the neck and neck with a particular team and you need to slow them down, or you want to, like, just knock a strong team out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's basically what that does. Okay. Let's see. So there's that. There's also the part where, again, on the tightrope, where someone says, "Ooh, I'm kind of afraid of heights." And I'm thinking, why are you on this show? It's like seasons ago, I can't remember which one, but there's this part where they were supposed to go down a water slide, but the person is both afraid of water and afraid of heights, so they couldn't do it, and that kind of screwed their team over. And just like, why would you not, if you can't do that, why are you on this show?
Mm-hmm. Did they take the 5-hour penalty?
I can't remember exact if they did the penalty or if they eventually went through with it, but only after like so long it put everyone ahead of them. I can't remember the specifics. I can't even remember what season was, but I just remembered that, and I was just thinking, like, why are you on this? You know that this is the kind of stuff you have to do. It's like, why would you go on Fear Factor if you're not prepared to eat something gross?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, well, I was kind of liking the Olympic hurdlers, but they got eliminated, so. Yeah, I do kind of like the NFL stars also. Those are the main ones I remember. The same team did get first place, though. That was kind of impressive.
Yeah.
Although, unfortunately, so they, like, talk about, hey, you got first place. You get to go on a vacation to this place for 5 days and all this great stuff. And the problem is, it's not really a vacation. Well, I mean, you still have to, here's the thing. It really amounts to just a big discount, because you still have to pay for it because there's taxes on these things.
Yeah, that's how it goes in game shows. But I was wondering if the NFL players have won. I mean, those guys are millionaires already. You know, like, what if they had won one where it was like, you just won $5,000 in cash? And, like, that wouldn't even be a single game's paycheck for those guys, you know?
Yeah, there were also, yeah, that's a good point. Although, I mean, it's always possible that, you know, they, because I don't know their financial situation, but I know a bunch of people, they can get a bunch of money through something like this, through like, you know, NFL or some other thing. And then they're, except then when that income dries up, they aren't responsible with the money. So they end up, you know, not having much.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't remember the exact number, but something like a third or a fourth of people who win the lottery jackpot go bankrupt within 5 years. Because people just don't manage the money right. They just spend all of it, and then they're left with nothing.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
If I somehow won the lottery, which would be impressive because I don't really buy tickets for it, but if I somehow did, I would make sure, like, always, I would always take the annuity thing. Because, you know, where they give you the amount over 20 years or something, you end up with more money total that way, actually. But I'm not, but maybe with inflation, it doesn't affect that. Just because that way, if I'm an idiot and I spend all of it, I'd still have money coming in for 20 years.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. That is actually a very smart strategy. It depends, though, like if you wanted to buy a home or something, you know.
Well, I mean, even the annuity payments, if we're talking jackpot on one of the big lotteries, that, like, what would the annuity payment be, like $10 million or something, or 20 a year? That would be more than enough to buy a house, even if you, like, well, you don't get half of that because it all goes to taxes, so.
Yeah. Yeah, the government makes a lot of money off lotteries, don't they?
See, honestly, if I was ever trying to get for lottery, I wouldn't buy one. I wouldn't get like something like Powerball. I get one of the smaller but still big ones, because that way, if you win it, if I still get like $1 million, that's still I guess when you consider, again, taxes, it's really more like $500,000, but that would probably be enough if I was smart with it. And more importantly, winning those things does not get you as much attention as when you suddenly get, you know, $200 million, in which case everyone decides that they're your friend, apparently.
I kind of would like if everyone was my friend, so.
I mean that somewhat sarcastically. I mean, everyone wants to be your friend so they can get money from you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll just say one last thing. If you somehow win the jackpot on the lottery and stuff, try to keep it as quiet as possible. I know that's hard considering the thing, but do what you can to not have your name out there if possible, because that way you won't have people pestering for you as much.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's see. Was there anything else about the amazing... race? I did like the part where they were bringing the professor guy the rocks, and he just kind of looks at it and says, "This is fake." His buddy says, "But here is your clue."
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to ask you a question. My parents have this question. Like, those taxis, those guys are paid by CBS, aren't they?
Are they?
I think they are, because they have to have taxis and like, you know, because like they have the same driver the whole day, you know?
I always just assumed they were random taxis. They pulled over. They might have like the same person, but I always thought that was just because they, you know, just tell the taxi person, "Hey, wait for us and we'll be back," or something.
Yeah, and they've. I don't know. It just seems to me that what they do, I don't know, but like, I was speculating that they get like 10 taxi drivers from that country. They all pay him a certain amount of money and say, "You gotta, you know, help certain people." And those people are only allowed to take those taxis and who knows, you know, like how fair the taxis are. Like some of them are fast drivers, some of them are slow drivers, you know, you don't know. And it's like luck of the draw, because they were even saying that. They're saying, yeah, what taxi we get is luck of the draw. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, so maybe these taxi drivers, you know, because all the taxis look the same too. And you do know there's like multiple. I mean, most cities don't have just one taxi company, but all the taxis look the same. So I really think the taxi, they have a deal with CBS. But, you know, that might just be speculation.
I don't know, like, for sure if some has been stated one way or the other. I don't think that's the case, because there's been some times where they ended where, you know, I've seen past scenes where people ended up with really bad taxi drivers. Like, there's one part who this guy, like, just took forever. And then when they're out, you know, and didn't help out much, and they're like, do you want to go back with him or try a different taxi? So I don't think, if that was like a possibility, I don't think it would be something where it was just specific ones for CBS. Yeah, there's been a bunch of some things I remember that don't really seem like they would make sense if that was the case. Like one time when one of the guys got, oh, this is going back, this was like season 4 or 5 or something, but I remember Colin and Christy, who they were the ones who won last season, right? Came back. Right. Yeah. Like their early appearance where Colin, he was a lot calmer in the previous season. In his first original appearance, he was known for having this, for all these flare ups and stuff. He like got super angry at the taxi driver because they had a flat. So they had, you know, stop and wait and things, and the guy didn't have a spare, and he didn't want to pay the taxi guy, and like, you know, the taxi guy actually like called police on them and stuff, and he finally was like, okay, fine, I'll pay. So I don't think that it was something like that would have happened if it was all done by CBS, but that was a while ago. Things might have changed. I just don't think that's the case, but that's just what I think. I haven't looked up to see anything definite, but I do not think they got, I think that these are just random taxi people they managed to enlist. It is possible that they made some kind of agreement with a taxi company, and then they were saying, okay, you have to use this specific taxi company because of, you know, we've made the agreement with them or something. But I don't think they, like, you know, got specific drivers or whatever.
I see. Yeah.
Because that would explain why you mentioned the taxis look similar.
Yeah.
But I'm not even sure about that. But yeah, I don't think they just got individual people. So, yeah, okay, I don't think there's anything else I had to say other than the fact that when one team, I just remember the one that season where Rob and Amber from Survivor, they, who had won a previous, they didn't win a previous season of The Amazing Race. They got like second place or something. Right. Survivor they won, but I just remember they came back again, and then they won the first four legs, all of them, and then were eliminated in the fifth.
Yeah, I heard they got screwed in their first season that they were on. They were leading, and then something happened, and they came in, finished second.
If I remember correctly, I could be wrong, this has been a long time, but if I remember correctly, another team managed to find an earlier flight. Like, it just randomly was available, and they were able, and they just kind of grabbed it, didn't tell anyone, and then they got there earlier than anyone else and were able to finish everything before everyone. If I remember correctly, it was ironically, Rob was trying to psych them out by asking them if they got on some earlier flight, which then caused them to check, oh, we should check. And then they found there was an earlier flight that had gotten open because of that. So if the, I again this these are from so long ago, I'm not sure I'm remembering everything right, but if I think that is what happened, I have to double check over all of that stuff to be sure. But if that is the case, it would be it would be rather amusing. Let's see. Hang on. I'm gonna actually check this up. Let me see. Okay. Let's see. It I'm glancing over into this one. It looks like, I'm sorry, I'm looking stuff up and I want to just make sure I've read through this thing. Did you, while I'm double checking this, did you have any like extra things to say about it?
No, I just think we have to wrap it up soon because we've gone on a little too far.
Oh yeah, we have. I guess the Amazing Race can do that. I am looking into that. It looks like they it looks like I might have been remembering that wrong, because what I'm looking at indicates that Yuchen and Joyce, they were the ones who won, did manage to somehow get on the same earlier plane as Robin Amber. So it wasn't an earlier one than that, I don't think. So it did manage to get there, but it did seem, from what I'm looking at, it did look like they managed to kind of luck out to get onto the same plane as them. So a lot of the stuff I said previously might have been wrong. Maybe even this is wrong, but so I might have wasted everyone's time for the last 6 or so minutes.
Everyone being me.
All right. So this has been Toonami Therapy. You can find our previous episodes at toonamitherapy.podbean.com. We'll be back here next week, probably with 2 episodes of Tales of the Abyss. We are getting close to the end of that. And we'll see you then.
Bye.